Hey, y'all are listening to Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with PDX and DMX. Let's get into it.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Hey, can you turn me down on your headbuds? I feel like we still get a lot of audio leakage.
Hey, you got a leaky audio. What can I say? That's what my mechanic always says.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about right now, Adrian? Hey, Paul,
can I ask you a question? Are you talking to me?
Obviously, there's only two people on this call.
You talking to me?
Yes!
Because I thought the way that you talk to me, you must be talking to your fucking mother. Because ain't nobody talk to me like that.
Wait, but I would talk... People talk badly to their mother? I don't get
that. You would.
Wait, what?
A man like you would.
A man like me meaning what, Adrian? Expand on that.
I'm a man of few words.
Expand on that potentially problematic idea.
The only words I know are sumo luma doing you is it a superhuman in of it.
You've been saying so many other words. I know you know more words.
It's not that I don't know the words, it's that I'm of a few words.
You're not a man of few words, you're of a few words.
Yeah, a few.
Why would you add an extra word to that sentence specifically?
That's one of my seven for today. That's a good one to use, though. That's one of my heavy hitters. Is and the are usually two of my seven for the day. And you can go back, listen to everything I've said so far. I've only used seven words.
Wasn't there like a movie where he could only say 100 words, but every time he said one, a leaf would fall from a tree? It was Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, like, the only movie he made in the 2010s?
That, Godfather, Godfather 2, I remember that movie came up because Phil and I were in a really heated, it was when we did our Asheville trip a few years ago, but Phil and I were in a very heated game of categories, and the category was movies with numbers in the title, and that was, like, one of the, like, Phil pulled that out at the last second, like, right before he eventually won.
Was it called 100 Words?
I think it was called 1,000 Words.
Oh, he only had 1,000 words. Either way, what a funny concept for a movie. I didn't watch it, but I assume the, like, issue is that he's, like, some slick talker who always gets his way because he says a lot of words, and then he gets cursed with that. So, How funny would it be if that wasn't the plot? Like, it was some other reason that was his curse?
It was Charlie Chaplin.
Who famously also didn't say words in real life out of to honor his films.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Murphy.
What's going on? Eddie Murphy.
What a man.
What a great stand-up. One of the rawest to do it.
Oh, raw. Okay, I see how you did that.
Mm-hmm. He's a raw dog, just like DMX.
who made an appearance in our intro today. Shout out to DMX.
Shout out DMX. Rest in peace.
Woof, woof.
Arf, arf.
So... You're literally... I was about to say something. I'm like, Adrian's just going to stare at me after I say this.
Do you think that DMX's song X Gonna Give It To You is about prenup agreements?
Oh, you see, I was about to say the joke I thought that was going to be so bad it would upset you was going to be, what is he going to give you?
Okay, yeah, I mean, mine had like a structure and a punchline. Yours was just a statement, but I can see why that you would be like, equally.
Famously, it was a question, not a statement.
Questions can be declarative in some sense.
What is X going to give you? Is that a good intro to a pop culture thesis on 2000s hip hop?
Like an NPR deep dive podcast?
Yeah.
Today we're asking the question, what is X going to give to you?
Oh, I meant like a journalistic article on like a deep dive into the a survey of the themes of 2000s hip hop.
Ooh, okay.
What is X going to give you?
I'd survey. Read that.
Would you read that? Or are
at
you
least
just
the
being
headline.
Nice to me? I would read the headline, too. It's a great headline.
Yeah. So, what's been going on with you? Extra long break since we last recorded. I got lots of stuff to bring in.
Oh, cool. I was in Portland.
For Memorial Day weekend, because you love the troops. Do you want to talk about the Portland trip, or do you want to save it for later?
Sure, yeah. I saw your sister. Totally with Big Chillin', she was cool. It was fun, man. Went out to the beach, did a hike, got to see some Portland. Never been to the West Coast before. Really not much more to report on. It was a good time.
Pacific Northwest. It's a chill vibe.
Yeah, they do it different out there, man. You know, I'm living my fast Charlotte life, and out there they're just like, hang 10, brother.
That is true. Everything closes at 11 p.m. and nothing opens till 11 a.m. They're just big chilling all the time.
I guess I was surprised by how much it reminded me of not a big city, but like more the type of city I'm used to, which is a collection of neighborhoods, some good, some lame, that you can kind of bop around.
Boroughs, you could say.
Yeah, boroughs.
Yeah, like New York City.
Yeah, except not like that, because, I mean, everything in New York is like, there's a ton of stuff. Portland wasn't that dense at all.
No, yeah. It's a very approachable city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love driving there because the lanes are a little bit small, but pretty easy to get around.
It is called Bridge City, and the part that did feel the most like a big city is when you're on the interstates / bridges going over the water. You're like, there's a lot of roads. Like, this makes it feel way bigger than it is once you actually get on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Any fun stories? Did you go to the zoo?
I didn't go to the zoo.
Mm.
No, you know I don't believe in zoos.
I forgot about that. They do exist. You can see them and touch them, but...
Nope.
You're a denier? You're a zoo truther? You're a zoother?
At most, agnostic to zoos.
Okay.
I did actually drive by the zoo on the way to the Rose Garden in Portland.
That is a real interstate-y part of Portland, like you were saying. That's where like the lanes really open up for no reason.
The zoo. I think it said it was like founded in some incredibly early date, like 1890, and I was like, ooh, that means it has to have something problematic in its history.
Oh, they definitely had people there.
You that's what I said to everybody in the car, and I think I bummed out the vibe a little bit, but I was like, right?
Yeah, like, right? Like, they definitely had people from, like, Senegal in there.
I mean, I guess I could look it up, but I'm not going to look it up. I'm sure they did some shit like that.
Why would I look up things to make me sad? It's going to come with pictures.
I was like, everybody was like, what? That happened? I was like, yeah, they had it at the New York Zoo. I'm like, why am I talking about this on vacation? I should stop bumming people out right now.
You're like, spring break! Woo, put your tits out.
It's not even spring break time, but yeah.
Yeah, close enough.
Close enough.
You don't know what everybody's university schedule is.
That's true. I haven't looked at every university's schedule. Adrian, you always call me out when I overstep, and I gotta thank you for that, because a good friend is somebody who's willing to let you know when you've made a mistake.
What if it's one of those universities that finally moved into an all-year-round school schedule? Because do you remember when there was a movement to try and get rid of summer break as an archaic like structure? That. There was a proposal for our district to do year-round schooling where it was going to be like you do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, but just for the entire year or something like that, where like you get more breaks, but like there's no three-month summer break. You're just in school year-round. And I'm sure if they did that at a university, their spring break was probably right about now.
That would really have ruined the theme song to Phineas and Ferb, so I can't support that initiative.
You're hungry in 40s. What if it was kind of like a time capsule like that, though? Now it's, you know, it's timeless now, but what if it was like a cool little, like, art piece like that?
You want it to be more dated?
You know, sometimes you need a sense of place and time to really ground a piece of art.
Is that why you're a big fan of 2008 by the Black Eyed Peas?
Is that a song?
Whichever song they say, you're so 2000 late.
Oh, you're so 2000. Yeah. That titular song.
Bang, bang, pow. What is this thing they do with that song? Boom, boom, pow.
Bang, bang, shrimp is what you're thinking about.
I mixed bang, bang, shrimp and boom, boom, pow.
And it turns out it's delicious. It's one of those like chocolate chip cookie recipe things where it's like, actually, the way that it started.
Now, it's the opposite. A good song is Boom Boom Shrimp.
Mmm. Ooh.
A good song.
Boom Boom Shrimp. Mmm. Okay. I'm
jacking my style. Some other lyrics I don't remember.
Oh, God, they were wilding out there. I think it was last season's SNL where they had a sketch about, like, what the fuck were the Black Eyed Peas doing in the studio in, like, 2008? Like, what was their process?
Let's get, no, you can't do the N slur. Another slur, player. Let's get.
But they were like, but for some reason, slur, let's say please. Mazel Tov in our song.
I remember as a youngin watching SNL, and they had a skit, this was way back in the day, about how everybody, it was about how embarrassing it is to be the other Black Eyed Peas members that aren't Will.i.am mm-hmm. and Fergie. I remember mm-hmm. that cracked young Paul up. I was like, that is true. I don't know those other two people.
They are ripe for comedy. What is one of them, like Apple to App?
Is that really one of their names? That's so funny.
Yeah. I can't remember who the other one is. I feel bad.
Anna de Armas?
Apple Anna de Armas. I wish. I'll tell you what.
Did I ever make you watch that really horrible Fergie single that came out when we were in college? It's called, like, MILF Milkers. Yeah, something like
that.
Oh,
Milk Might. Like, I saw that independently.
Okay, yeah, that was a real... Oh my god, who greenlit this one?
It's like, you got that milk money, I got that MILF money, is that what the hook is?
Something like that, and the video is like a milkman being all horny. It's really uncomfortable.
I mean, famously, they were getting everybody in the neighborhood pregnant.
Famously.
Mm-hmm. Before the UPS man became the stereotype, it was the milkman who was doing those extra pair copulations.
Mm. And before the Adrenochrome guy, that's going to be the delivery guy in 20 years.
That's going to be the, yeah. Actually, next is going to be the Amazon drone robot.
Are you saying we're going to have abomination robot-human hybrid babies?
Well, let's get into my media roundup. I watched Titan.
Really? Dude, that movie fucking rocks. I'm so happy you finally watched it.
Yeah, it was at the Art House Theater in Sac. I went to go watch it, and I didn't like it as much as Climax, but like solid 7 out of 10. That was a good movie. That was fun.
Interesting that you're comparing it to Climax and not Raw, but...
I haven't watched Raw, and then also it was just the last movie that I saw at that theater, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it was fun. It was interesting. It makes sense now, but I didn't realize the birth was going to be the climax. I thought it was going to happen and more stuff was going to happen. I also, because of the discourse around it, I thought it was going to be weirder. To be honest, I thought it was like, I was like not as, you know, I will say this. It was fun to watch in a crowd because it almost became like a 4D movie because there's a woman on the same row who I was on who was like shaking the seats. Who was like, this is crazy. She was just like, oh my God, what's going on right now?
That's awesome. I would enjoy that too. When I saw it, there was only one other person in the theater and it was also a dude by himself who looked like a hipster. So I was like, okay.
No,
see what the clientele for this film is gonna be.
I was by myself because Spencer knew about the movie and was like, I'm not in the mental space to watch that. And then Nicole was like, that doesn't sound like something I want to watch. And Pierce was like, I don't want to watch it either. And I was like, all right. I got other stuff. Some of it's not Media Roundup, but some of it's the things that I do for Media Roundup. Do you want to go through this?
Yeah.
All right. Medical Animosity. A new album that I'm looking into. The last two times I've had doctor appointments, people who have been medical professionals in the appointment that I'm in have like passive aggressively just fought in front of me. And I don't know why. Like, I guess it's an office like any other office. So like it just happens. But like the last time that I was at my endocrinologist, the woman who was like doing all the vital sign stuff was like a temp. So like another nurse comes in while she's doing my stuff. And she's like, oh yeah, that's how you check a pulse. Hope those numbers are accurate. And I was like, why are you doing this in front of me? But I went to the dentist last week. And it was my first time having the actual person whose name is on the building as like my main dentist who comes in after the hygienist. And so he was talking to me and he was like, your x-rays look good. I'm sure it was a boring appointment. You always have boring appointments or whatever, I'm sure. And the hygienist was like, actually, he had some inflammation in his gums or whatever. And he was like, oh, are you flossing? And I was like, yeah, I just don't think I'm doing it with the right technique. And he was like, did they show you the squeaky clean technique? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And she was like, I did. I just didn't use those words. And he was like, oh my God, tell you what, I'm going to fire everybody in this office. And I was like, what? Don't say that in front of me, dude.
Wait, so your doctor has a squeaky clean technique? I've heard of the pizza technique. You want to think of your gums as a slice of pizza that you're getting both sides of.
Oh, see, this is the difference in praxis in the medical community. No, his thing is that you should have auditory feedback when you've done enough scraping so that you actually get a squeak. And so she's doing it kind of like that thing where she's kind of angry that she has to redo this with me. So she's like, here's what he means. And she's like, can't get it to squeak. And she's like, he's always talking about the squeak. It doesn't actually squeak. You just got to clean it. All right. You just got to do it. And I was like, I was like, I just want to leave. I want to get out of here, man. I hate you, man. I don't want anybody to be mad at me. And everyone's mad at me.
She's like, doctor, his teeth are broken. They don't squeak.
So, yeah, that was the thing where I think he said something else, too, and I can't remember what it was, but it was so clear that they were not, like, that was worse than the other one, too, right? Because there's, like, a power dynamic. Like, him literally talking about firing them, I was like, please don't.
Whatever, they had kinky sex in the broom closet, like, 30 minutes after you left.
Is that what she put on my teeth when she said fluoride?
Come on, now.
Get mad now. Okay, next thing I wanted to talk about. Paul, you seen this? You heard about this? Why is it that we have trailers for trailers now?
Oh, teasers.
Is that what they are?
You're just learning about teasers?
I don't listen to a lot of ads. I try to ignore them as much as possible. Having a trailer for a movie trailer is the dumbest.
Where it's called like, a teaser, Adrian.
It's a trailer for a trailer. You can call it whatever you want.
It's a teaser.
You can call it a rose, but you're still fucking me in my big old ass, all right? That's what I'm saying. You can't show a scene from the trailer that I'm about to watch and say the trailer's starting in 3, 2, 1, and then show the trailer. That's ridiculous behavior, and we should not agree to
like
that.
Consecutive. I've seen like
No. This is like a YouTube ad will come up. It'll show like a cold open of like the trailer scene. And then it'll be like, the trailer for this movie starts in 3, 2, 1. And then it plays the full trailer. And it's like, why is there a trailer for the trailer?
Why is it happening consecutively? That's so weird. I've seen it before where they're like, trailer coming certain date, but it comes out way before the trailer.
No. I'm talking like consecutively.
That's weird. I've never seen that.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I was saying.
That's not a trailer for the trailer. That's like a... That's like a opening.
It's a countdown for the trailer. It's ridiculous.
That's an opener. Either way. That's coming out on stage to warm up the crowd before the trailer comes on to close.
Get it, Addy. Get it the fuck, Addy. Let's see what else I got. What else
trailer?
I
barely know her. Teaser? I barely know her.
Who's going to be my next target? Anybody can get it. I'll tell you what. I finished Insecure all the way through. It was very good. I liked it. The ending was nice. One of my gripes with the writing, I'll tell you this, Paul, let's say that we're having
Adrian's
a fight.
Gripes corner?
Is Adrian's gripes corner. Paul, let's say that we're having a fight right now, and unrelated, we start talking about apples and oranges, and you tell me whether or not you like apples better than oranges.
Yeah, that's something that could feasibly happen.
All right, so let's roleplay this. Like, tell me, you're gonna say whether or not you like apples better than oranges or whatever.
Okay, I love oranges, man. They're just the better fruit.
You love oranges. Well, now I'm glad we're fighting and about to break up. That's 90% of Insecure is small talk.
Wait, what?
It's like, it'll be like, oh, you're a Red Sox fan. I'm glad we're in a fight right now. I fucking hate you.
It's like that weird, like, when you meet another family and they're like, yeah, we're a divided family. One of us is a Gamecock, one of us is a Clemson fan. Like, that's their comedy.
I don't know why that's, like, the go-to for, like, we're showing that these people have chemistry together is, like, you like this thing, I don't like that thing, I'm glad we're about to break up.
Wait, why are they breaking up? Never mind. I'm sure people who watched Insecure will get this.
Yeah, the show is all about in and out of relationship stuff. Okay, next thing. Guatemala in the U20 World Cup got her little hiney spanked by everybody. Uzbekistan, Argentina.
Oh, no, my little hiney. Ah, that hurt.
New Zealand, all three of them. Like, we spanked our little booties, which, you know, at least we got there. I didn't see a lot of Lebanese football players in that tournament.
No, sir, stop banking me.
That's what they sounded like the entire time. Okay, just a few more things. I think you should leave season 3. I need to watch it again, but honestly, I thought it was not good. Or average, but in the way that, like, it's better than most sketch shows still, but, like, man, that did not live up to any of the season 1, season 2.
Dude, I don't want to force us into the theme too quickly, but I was reading an article that was like, what do real Portlanders think of Portlandia? And obviously each one of them was like, I hate this show because of how it makes people think of our city. And I was like, what a boring... I don't... It was... it was almost mind-numbing to read people try to, like, thread an opinion that's supposed to tell you more about them than it is about the show. You know, it was more like an opinion that was like, here is how I feel about my identity. Then it's like, I don't know. Multiple people said it's hit and miss. And I was like, oh my God, like, you're insulting a show while saying, for being like cliche, while saying the most cliche thing you can about a sketch
show. About a sketch show? Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird, man.
That's pretty funny. Okay. Let's see. We got fact checked by Snopes.com, aka Marshall's bitch ass.
What does Marshall think he knows that we don't know?
So, Mary Cooper, who signed off the letter about her young Sheldon-ass son in the last episode, that's the name of Sheldon's mom in the show, because Sheldon's mom is, Sheldon's last name is Cooper. So he made sure to text me and be like, they weren't making a, like, niche literary reference. That's just Sheldon's, young Sheldon's mom.
So they also were referencing young Sheldon like us, but they've seen the show.
I was like, you would know that.
That rocks. Thank you, Marshall. I honestly appreciate that. That's the best feedback we've gotten for this show yet, and I'm kind of embarrassed for how much we reference young Sheldon.
Thanks for keeping us on track, Marshall. Did you have anything that you wanted to bring in?
Series finale of Succession did not disappoint.
Oh, yeah. They actually end well.
Ended incredibly.
Ooh. They were all dead the whole time?
No, they were on an island and lost.
So you're saying they're the real island boys?
No, I'm saying it was a dream.
Oh, it was in a snow globe the entire time?
Yes, but that snow globe was in purgatory. All right, you want to get into the theme, Adrian?
Oh, yeah. Do you not have anything else to bring up? I dominated that with so many things going on in my life these days. My life's a movie.
Last night was a movie, bro. Last week was a movie, bro. Portland. And if anybody wants to complain that we're getting lazy with it by just picking where we went the last week, that's completely true.
That's true. You're not wrong. When you were in Portland, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
How much did Doralee complain about people moving to Portland?
Zero.
Okay, because she did that to me on the phone, because she was like, yeah, I went on a date with this guy, and, like, he's cool, but, like, he's from California. Like, we need more Californians here. And I'm like, you've been there, like, 5 years. Why are you doing this thing as if you're, like, a native Portlander or whatever? You get to choose who to be mad about for moving there.
I did mention earlier the article I read about people talking about the show Portlandia, and one of them that was very funny was a person going, oh yeah, that's a show for people to complain about who have lived here, who moved here 10 years ago from the Midwest. But I was like, damn, just like roasted everybody else in this article. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those cities where I know people are very protective of it, like Denver and Austin, like people who've lived there for more than a handful of years feel like which is interesting because it's the people who came there during the boom that actually changed the cities, that actually changed the landscape of the city culturally, are protective of it from other people changing it. It's like, you just did that so recently. It's very funny. You're protective of the city.
Yeah. 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 Who were the day ones from Portland? Like, I know there's some comedians, but I don't know any other, like, Aminé?
Yeah, he's from Portland.
I forgot to mention that. Katrin Mine, very okay project. Very horny project. I don't know if it's like Katrinata's beats just bring that out of him, but every bar is just like, ooh, I'm fucking that pussy.
Wait, can you give me an example of one more bar?
Ooh, I'm strong. I'm not a wussy.
Okay, two more bars.
Ooh, I dive in that clitoris.
I think my bigger complaint about this project, and I haven't listened to it yet, is that he starts every bar with, ooh.
Ooh. It's West Side, shut up. Ooh. It's hot, but we call motherfuckers.
I really enjoyed my time in Portland. It is interesting that people are so protective of it.
Overall, in your list of cities, are you a would visit, wouldn't live?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really
interested. I would live there.
I think if I lived there, it would be more for the weather and nature than from the for the stuff in the city.
Oh, it's like a climate refugee. That's how you're going there.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I really enjoyed the coast. I thought it was so beautiful.
Yeah. You like a good cold coast?
And I did enjoy the city, but I don't... it wasn't, like, so... And maybe I didn't do the right things. I don't want people to get offended at me. I wasn't so impressed by the stuff in the city that I was like, I need to move here.
I will say for our audience, Paul did make sure to go to Powell's, so, you know.
I did go to Powell's.
It's really hitting the... We're hitting the hits.
Hitting the hits.
Hitting the hits. But you didn't do Voodoo. You didn't do Salt and Straw.
No, I did not do those.
Did better than me and Dorley on our first trip. We did all that. And then Dorley worked at both of those places.
Wait, do you think it's bad to go to places that are famous in a city?
I thought we were talking about going to the right places versus the wrong places.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm also not going to go to a city and go to, like, where the hipsters are going in that city that doesn't feel like it represents the city at all. I want to see the stuff that people know and care about.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. It's one of those things where, like, I think I told you before that my brother was really big on, like, yeah, I lived in New York 10 years, never seen the Statue of Liberty. Why would I?
That's absurd. He should have gone and seen it.
That's not that good, honestly.
Oh, really? I liked the boat tours that took us close to it. It was a really fun tour. But maybe that was because there were free drinks.
Yeah, I did that. Not with free drinks, though. That was fancy. But yeah, that's when I was like, could have skipped that. Could have gone somewhere else.
Well, you should have gotten drunk. That was your mistake.
That was my mistake. They were making me pay per drink, though.
Monsters.
And also, Dorley and I sat on, like, a ledge thing, and some guy came around to tell us, hey, you're not allowed to sit on that ledge thing. And I was like, you don't tell me what to fucking do. This is the land of the free. Do you see that fucking lady with the torch right there? Mommy says I can do this.
I went to a place that Dorley said you and her had gone, Revolution Hall. That place was great.
Yeah, it's where we watched Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wait, what'd you go see?
We actually went up to the top floor and just got drinks and watched the sunset. It was beautiful.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's like the old converted high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun night. Dorley, I bought the ticket spontaneously because I liked some of the clips on YouTube. It was before I was a big CBB fan, and it was a fun time. Pretty cool.
It's interesting that that I also became a CBB fan after seeing the live show and being really impressed. I guess their live shows really bring people in.
Yeah, some of the best stuff.
But yeah, that was great.
Little fun fact. That second show, so we went to the late show in Portland, which is one of the few shows on that tour where they messed up the recordings, like the first 20 minutes are missing. So I'm one of whatever amount of people were in that building that got to see that first 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe that Scott said that N-word for the first and last time.
If I could sell that memory, it'd be worth 200 easy.
Wait, but would you get to keep the memory or you would have to get rid of it?
I gotta get rid of it.
Ooh, you would do that?
Yeah, that's how this sci-fi dystopian works. You have memories as physical chips and you can buy and sell them to other people and they can pretend it's theirs.
ChatGPT isn't going to come up with that. Give the writers what they deserve.
Come on, end the strike.
Actually, ChatGPT would definitely come up with that idea. It was so bad. I'm sorry, Adrian.
What are you talking about, man? Just talk, man. That's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Because it's like, at a certain point, everyone's like, are these even my memories anymore? Do I even know? Do I even know who I am anymore?
It doesn't turn out the protagonist isn't who he thinks it is, so it's an unreliable narrator, and there's a crazy Cernak flip.
No, it's more about the fact that, like, he finds this girl with, like, big old titties, and they just fuck a lot. It's a real 1984. He's kind of a schlubby old dude, but for some reason he finds a young hot lady with big bazoingas.
And then it just turns out she implanted him with a chip to make his memories think she had big boobs, but she had tiny boobs, and so he goes crazy.
That's the dystopian part.
He's like, no!
I thought I was sucking on big old titties.
He jumps off a bridge and commits suicide.
But turns out that was a false memory implanted with someone else.
And it was Black Mirror the whole time?
It was Black Mirror the whole time. The credits roll says Black Mirror. The credits roll and says directed by Dick Wolf. We were watching
Black Mirror this whole time. No!
Yeah.
Should we get at the Portland column?
Yeah, did you have anything, any last things? Did you go to any of the famous, like, chains or anything like that? I guess already, like,
I went to JoJo's, which is a chain, and I went to Bamboo, which is a chain. Both killed it.
Oh, that's crazy. I've never been to either of those.
10 out of 10. Both places were really good. I would recommend Bamboo for sushi. It, like, honestly was incredible.
Okay, yeah. Then let's get into columns. All right. Mine is a little bit tangential, but that's fine. I'll go first. This is, we have brought her in before from The Rumpus, Dear Sugar, Cheryl Strayed. And the reason I brought her in is because she is a Portland transplant, but has been there since like 1990 or something like that. So she's been around for a while. You know, she's got some claimed stake in the city. And so this is from an article titled, Dear Sugar, if you're so hot and on, why not sign your name and include a pic of your amazing Wonder Puss? That being said, we are not going to be doing that column or that question. We're going to do a different one.
Wait, what?
Yeah, sorry, Paul.
Come on, man.
This one at least still kind of ties into the themes and stuff of what we're doing today. Dear Sugar, I recently moved from a small community of people whose ideas were radically different than mine to a larger community filled with people whose ideas are almost banal in their similarity. I find myself often let down by conversations with new people. There's no spirited argument when everyone feels the same. I don't miss smacking myself in the head half the time people open their mouths around me, but I do miss talking to people in a way that seems like we are both attempting to hear and be heard. And to understand where our differences come from. It's not about rectifying these differences, but being open to them and feeling comfortable when able to coexist. Without that, I'm finding my interactions with people quite boring, my contributions included. How do I get rid of the defense mechanisms ingrained that tell me that I have to battle to be heard? When everyone is already listening, I have nothing to say. So Paul, how do you feel about the idea of moving from a small, embattled community where people share their ideas and come to common understanding to a liberal echo chamber like Portland?
Well, no, she was saying where she was from was an echo chamber, but she was a contrarian voice. I don't think she put it in this terms, but I think what she's struggling with is that being a contrarian was kind of part of her identity. Now that people agree with her, she doesn't have that identity anymore.
Oh, is that what you think it is?
To some extent, yeah. I mean, I think that's a rephrasing of what she said that's not as charitable as the way she wrote it. And I don't think she's a bad person, so I'll give her the charitable interpretation, but it's pretty much what she's going through, right?
You don't think, because I feel like at no point did they say, sometimes I'll just do a devil's advocate just to get ideas flowing.
No, but most people who are contrarians don't think of themselves that way. They just are in a certain echo chamber and they develop a opposing voice. I think the solution is, I think she sounds smart because it sounds like they've identified that this isn't really a problem. It's really their internal angst about not feeling heard or communicating in the way they're used to communicating.
I think they're saying they're not stimulated.
So I think go Republican, continue being a contrarian, go conserve. That's short for conservative. There's topics that get libs all hot and bothered. Bring up homelessness.
Oh, for the NIMBYs?
Yeah.
There's bound to be some NIMBYs.
There's definitely progressive people who have regressive views on homelessness. And or maybe you do. Whichever one it is, argue with people about that.
Oh, okay. I like that. Do a little bit of the, you go libertarian then, if that's what you want to do. That way you're like a weird mix of things.
I don't think that's libertarian. There's definitely just progressives who are not progressive in that type of way. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. I get what you're saying. But I don't know. I mean, is that going to happen often, though? I mean, I think most of these people are just going to be like, hey, did you guys see what the orange guy on TV said today? Come on now.
Which is a good point. Maybe it doesn't need to be about politics. Maybe you could take up a Seattle team as your favorite sports team.
Oh, do you want to do the small talk from Insecure again?
Yeah.
Seattle. Now I'm glad we're breaking up. Come on now.
Come on.
Shouldn't start dating in the first place.
Yeah. Well, whatever their basketball team is and be like the Trailblazers, they suck.
Hey, come on. They do suck, though.
You can get some of that contentious energy back into the mix.
Mm. Yeah, there are plenty of ways to be a contrarian. I guess that is a good point. You just become a really big pineapple on pizza guy.
Mmm. You know, people are always singing their disdain for pineapple on pizza. And I'm like, nobody's ever talking about my idea when I put a whole pizza on top of my pineapple before I eat it.
Because a pineapple has those little spikes that hold things into place.
So you can put your pizza all the way around it. It's like a calzone with a full uncut pineapple on this.
Oh, it's an uncut pineapple?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's even... For some reason, I imagine like a bisected, and then you put it on the open flesh.
No, you take a pizza and you try as hard as you can. You take a pineapple like with the... You know, with the hair and everything, all the spiky
with
hair.
With the hair and everything, yeah. The Bart Simpson looking ass motherfucking fruit.
And you lay it down on top and just kind of try your best to wrap it around the base of the pineapple.
Okay, yeah, that does sound good.
Man, that's what me and my family had every Thanksgiving. That was our favorite meal.
It's not like your rapper struggle meal, that's just like a celebrated family recipe. I found myself let down by conversations with new people. It seems like a character flaw to think that you need to be on defense all the time, and that's what a good conversation is.
Yeah. People also get upset about religion. Do you have any wacky religious beliefs? Nah, but everybody in Portland, you know, they have their coexist sticker. They're just gonna be like, that's cool, do you?
Ooh, yeah. Have you ever been frustrated by a person like that?
What do you mean now? Maybe?
I was talking to a guy in high school. He was, it was actually a very funny story because what happened was we got to choose our own seats at the beginning of this, like medical terminology class. And then the teacher randomized us for seating and was like, who knows? Maybe you'll find a new friend by sitting next to someone you don't know. And I got sat next to the kind of like troublemaking kid who annoyed me because I don't know, like any person who just disrupts class and makes it harder to get through the day is kind of annoying to me. He ended up being really cool. He was really nice. He was really good at art. He sold me weed. But he was also really religious and a Christian. And I remember just being like, oh, yeah, I'm not too big on that. And he was like, hey, well, that's fine, brother. Different strokes for different folks or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but like, don't you think you're religion or whatever? And he's like, nah, man, it's whatever, man. Everyone can do whatever they want. I don't care if you're religious or not.
That sounds like you being a bitch to a nice guy, Adrian. I don't get the point of this story.
It kind of was. I was a little bit like, I mean, come on, like, you know, debate me, bro.
Ooh, so, okay, you've related to this person before, this question asker.
No, because I wasn't looking for consensus, I was looking for domination.
It is funny how she, like, the death of actual change when it comes to... Wait, let me reword that. It is funny.
It was really poetic the way you had it the first time. Yeah, cool.
The beginning of her question, right, she... is basically conceding that politics to her is an intellectual curiosity because she doesn't care about changing anybody's mind. It's about getting to disagree with them in a mature way. At no point is it about like, oh, when people agree with me, that means my side has more power and that's a good thing. It's like almost a stereotypical complaint of like modern liberalism in America where everything's about like a dialogue, but it's not about actually wielding and changing the world for the better.
Yep, I've been on my right about that before. I think we also had an advice column once that I think I brought in or you brought in where it's the flip where it's the old dad's the liberal and the young son's the conservative and he like lives in an apartment off the like way of his building or whatever. He's like, every night I get off work and I get to go talk to him and we disagree about things, but at the end of the day, we still love each other. And that's what politics is all about.
Politics is really the friends we made along the way. Politics is me getting to make a Facebook post where everybody comments, hey, you know, you might be the type of person I disagree with, but I know you always come at it with a, you know, an intellectual curiosity and the facts and information. And that's what's important. It's like, what? No, that's not what's important. What's important is defeating you in battle, you motherfucker. Disappear.
That was another part of the conversation that the guy at the bar had with the bartender that, like, I was just rolling my eyes at so hard as they had that exact same... It happens the same way every single time, anytime you get two random strangers talking about politics, where he's just like, that's why I say don't identify with one sports team or the other. think about the facts and think independently on every issue. And I was like, no, that's so stupid. I think I've been in a bar before in South Carolina where like some guy was going on that rant. And I was like, Justin was like, you're being too loud about how stupid that guy is right now.
Okay, this person. Get engaged in the local political scene if you really want this back in your life. I promise you there's a lot of insane minutiae you can still debate about, even with people who agree with you on basic outlines.
Yeah, other than change yourself or change your surroundings or change the way you feel about things. Those are your options.
I like it.
All right, cool. The answer from Dear Sugar, Dear Reader. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I just said I like it.
No, that was it. That was what Dear Sugar said.
That rocks. Shout out to Sugar. That was a bullshit question.
Yeah, that was one of those. So, Paul, bottom of the second, it's on you. What you got?
I do gotta say, it's very rare that I feel like we got bodied by an answer, but their answer was so much better than anything we gave.
We have to fill up time. She gets paid by the words she doesn't use. It's like jazz. the other thing I wanted to say is I think it was Willie D who fucking bodied us like that. So, Paul, bottom of the second, it's on you. What you got?
Dear Lizzie, my husband has college friends who moved to the city in the past year. They seem to have moved with the expectation that we will all be best friends. They text almost daily asking questions and wanting to get together. They can be pretty pushy and a couple of times have tried to invite themselves along on family trips when I offered that up as an excuse as to why we couldn't get together. I don't really have much in common with them, and I don't particularly love their company. When they first arrived in Portland, I tried to be helpful. I brought them over a meal, helped them find new doctors, etc. We have moved to several cities, and I know how hard it is to move to a brand new place, especially with kids. But it's been a year, and I'm ready to let them fly on their own. My husband ignores them now, so it is all on me. I don't want to be a jerk. I've been on the receiving end of beautiful new friendships that made moving much easier. And I also know what it feels like to move back to your hometown hoping to revive old friendships and be soundly dumped. Portland really can feel like a large high school. My current strategy is to get together with them very occasionally, but only when it is on my terms and convenient for me. But I really would prefer not to see them at all. I barely have time for my own friends and family. I just feel like too big of a jerk cutting them off completely. But they will not get the hint.
Was she censoring herself? Or what was that?
Maybe Oregon Live censored her curse words. It might have been bitch there, and they replaced it.
I see. So wait, the husband already gave up on these people? But she's...
This person is much nicer than me. If it was my friends from college, sure, I would feel like some obligation. My husband's friends, if he's ghosting them, I'm ghosting them.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, you guys, you know, I fuck with you, but I don't fuck with you. You know what I mean? Like, y'all my dogs, but y'all ain't my dogs. You know what I mean?
What is that from?
That's from Atlanta. They're waking up really hungover from a party, and the guy's like, hey, man, thanks for coming over, man. Things got too crazy last night. Are you guys like... You my homies, but you're not my homies, all right?
I remember like, you can't be that doing now. That. Yeah.
it feels like the answer is really obvious. Just stop hanging out with them. I mean, cutting them off completely, like, I don't know, like...
I mean, make it longer and longer. Like, the solution she gave is also not that bad. Just only hang out with them when it's extremely convenient for you. Only do what you want. Be like, yeah, let's meet up at this new restaurant I want to try. And... have it.
Oh yeah, there's this new tapas bar, this new dim sum, and I can't go alone, so
and have it be longer and longer periods in between until eventually it's taken 2 or 3 months for you to be able to plan something.
I like the idea of Portland being like a big high school. That's the perspective we needed, as someone who's from Portland, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean it has to be a big high school after they shut down all the high schools to become bars. Like Revolution Hall.
That's true. Yeah, to become venues.
That was my big concern while I was in there. I was like, this is kind of a beautiful high school. Should students not be attending this place? When...
I'm sure they got nicer ones.
Okay, I don't know, man. It felt like they took a perfectly good education center and made it into a cool venue, but...
You think one of the students' parents came into the building and was like, this is too nice to be a high school. I'm buying this and tearing it down to make a rec center.
Yeah, Portland is a big high school, man. While I was there, I got a noogie.
Is helping someone find new doctors usually what you do for people who move in town?
Yeah, don't they have their own insurance that they have to get a doctor through? What is this Willy Wonka-ass world y'all live in?
What do you know? This was their PPO or whatever.
Did you also recommend your milkman to them? You live in the 1950s? What is this?
I know this very good doctor. He's very gentle with the leeches.
It's Portland, so it's probably a homeopathy doctor. So what? You know what I mean?
Come on now.
Do what Dor Lee does. Introduce them to a queer BIPOC climbing group so they can make their own friends.
Oh wait, are you saying that you met Dorley's friends or that she just talked about being a part of that group?
She talked about being a part of that group. It seemed like a good way to make friends.
That is true. She likes doing the, those things. I think they also do a movie club or something like that. I don't know. Just wait, you're telling her to make new friends or telling them to make new friends?
Invite them to the
queer... Also, what if these people aren't queer BIPOC people?
What's the probability of that?
Hi, it's Portland.
What are you talking about? While I was in Portland, I saw twos of East Asian people.
Ooh, and did you bow? It's usually respectful in Portland to bow.
I legitimately don't think I saw a black person. It is crazy in that city.
I'll tell you what.
I guess being from the South, I just thought like black people, you know, were generally around, but not in Portland, man.
I really thought they were in this bitch, but nah.
I thought they were a part of the American fabric, but turns out, nah, Portland is a shiny white square on the quilt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Fake a life-threatening disease and say that you have to check off stuff on your bucket list so you don't have time to hang out with them anymore.
They're gonna invite themselves to that. They've already made it clear that they're willing to invite themselves to things.
I'm gonna come with you to finally bungee jump.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I went skydiving, I went rigger rocket climbing, I went 2-4 shit. I don't actually remember.
Wait, what is rocket climbing? That's not an activity.
I told you I don't know the lyrics, okay? You can't judge me by standards that are beyond what I've set for myself. When you only got one day to live.
Tell them they're dying.
Pay the doctor that you know who is also their doctor to tell them that they're dying.
Her list of things she set them up with in Portland included bringing them a casserole and giving them a doctor.
Did I tell you that I had a dream the other day where a doctor diagnosed me with cancer and they said, you're gonna get through this, you're strong? And I was like, I'm not, man. Can I just give up now?
Did I tell you that I had a dream the other day that all the little black boys and all the little black girls,
they were not judged. Oh man, that's a conservative's favorite MLK quote.
You really had that dream? Are you okay, man? It seems like you're anxious about your health.
I don't know. Do dreams really mean anything?
Yeah, I think so.
You think they're future tellings?
No, I think they...
You don't think evolutionarily, from an evolutionary psychology standpoint, it's like a way to practice real-life events that may happen before you actually have to encounter them?
Was that Russell Brand? Because I think
that theory is pants, mate.
Is that Russell Brand? You sound like Russell Brand, but I don't know if that's what you're going for.
I'm off-brand, Russell.
That's funny, man.
And that's on-brand, Russell, I'll tell you what.
Why did Russell Brand become an off-brand Jordan Peterson? When did that happen? Why is that a thing now?
Yeah, into really wooey stuff. I don't know. When you have like the body type that he has and the hair that he does, that's kind of how it works.
Oh, yeah. You do kind of hit a wall when you're a Russell Brand type where it stops being sex appeal and starts being kind of scary sexual assault appeal.
Mm-hmm. Mm. He's got a 30 Seconds to Mars. What's that guy?
I don't know.
He's the one who has the cult. What the fuck is his name? He played Joker in Suicide Squad.
30 Seconds to Mars. Talking about bands with that sort of name structure. Whatever happened to Seven Dwarfs Down?
Are we doing categories right now? Bands with numbers in their name?
Numbers, but then also, like, words that denote a distance afterwards.
I mean, yeah, well, one's time, one's distance. I will say, Seven Doors Down is a reasonable amount of doors down. 30 seconds to Mars. Is that saying that you're 30 seconds away from Mars, or that it's taking you 30 seconds to get to Mars? Because that's too fast.
That is really fast.
That's real fast.
That's faster than light, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's too fast. You literally can't go that fast.
Why can I not remember this fucker's name? What is this dude's name? He was in Fight Club, too.
Also, talk about Seven Doors Down. What's their hit, Superman? Like, I don't wanna...
If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? I went skydiving and a rickety rockety climbing. What would you do if you had one day to live? Yeah, your end is kryptonite.
Yeah!
Why does nobody ever play that song on throwback playlists?
You gotta start that trend, brother.
I do. That should be one of the songs that people consider a throwback song.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it going, y'all.
Let's get it going, y'all. All right. Here's Three Door Down Superman coming up. Thank you for the request,
Spotify,
Vanessa.
Spotify keeps taking us off when we put copyrighted music in our pod. We can't play it. Thank God we have perfect voices for impersonating music.
You know what my question is? If you went crazy, would she still call you Superman? Why was she calling you that beforehand? What were you doing?
I was gaslighting her into thinking I'm Superman by dropping subtle hints.
Every time there was a green crystal around, I'd be like, ah, the pain, my one weakness.
Anytime I saw a news story about crime pop up on the TV, I'd be like, I gotta go real quick. I would run out the room.
In the Superman universe, it is canon that he actually broke Watergate.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's multiverses. It's a comic book aging.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to go see that Spider-Man movie?
Oh, then you into the verse? Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first one was killer.
Yeah.
First one had me feeling like I was on drugs for like 20 minutes.
If I go crazy, will you still call me Spider-Man?
Ooh, am I superhuman? What is it that is his kryptonite? My something's.
They should have really gotten Weird Al to make that song for the Spider-Man into the Multiverse.
Yo, if Weirdo Al was still as active as he was in his prime, what songs do you think he'd be doing right now?
God, I don't even remember what's popular the last year.
I think he'd be doing, instead of Watermelon Sugar, Watermelon Boogers, and it's about someone who has good tasting boogers.
That's funny. Do people listen to music anymore? What's big right now? Old Town Road? More like Schmoll Schmown Schmode.
Really lazy Weird Al who just does the schmo thing for everything. That's good. It's good. Watermelon Schmugger.
All right, should we go into the answer for this column?
If I go crazy, then he's still got me Superman.
Become really obnoxious. Do shit like that in front of your friends.
Oh, that is true. Why would you not make this a how to lose a friend in 10 days type thing?
Ooh.
Paul, if you wanted to lose a friendship, what would you do?
If I go crazy, would you still call me Superman?
Superman.
I'd take that song a lot. I guess they are obnoxious. What if they think that means y'all are becoming better friends? They're like, oh, we are just quirky like that. We just sing old songs.
That is very sitcom or whatever, where it's like you try to do the worst thing imaginable. They're like, we like that. Anyways, so yeah, okay. So any other ideas about being a bad friend or just straight into the answer?
Let's go straight into the answer unless you have any ideas.
No, I'm good. This is a new columnist, so I don't know how to... Lizzie Aker... she looks nice. She looks very Portland, I'll say that. Her glasses match her shirt.
Making and maintaining friendships as an adult can be incredibly hard. I was talking about this recently on a walk with a newish friend. Who you become and stay friends with is a mix of proximity, shared interests, scheduling, and persistence. There are far, far more people you aren't actively friends with than those you are. But those people you don't hang out with all the time don't have to be your enemies. I have people I love who live in Portland that I see only every 3 months because we are both so busy it almost never works out. When I was in first grade, I got in trouble for excluding a girl from the brutal 6-year-old clique I was in. My punishment was that I had to play with the girl at least twice a week. Was it a great punishment? Probably not for her, since I was clearly doing it begrudgingly. But I did start inviting her to join in big group games, and we were both happier. I didn't have to hang out with a girl I didn't particularly like, and she was involved. Aren't we all basically just first graders trying to find people who will play with us? That said, I also think it's a little ridiculous that your husband has saddled you with doing the emotional labor of maintaining this friendship. These are his friends. Why does he get to dip out while you're still responsible for them in some way? This is my advice. While you are well within your rights to tell them to text your husband next time and leave it at that, I recommend a softer approach. Continue to make excuses for why you can't frequently hang out one-on-one. Remember, you do not need to immediately respond to texts. I have friends, literally people I know who genuinely like me, who take weeks to respond to texts. People are very busy. You are very busy. You can be honest about that without breaking up with them completely, and it's reasonable and healthy to set boundaries. But also, consider extending invitations to group activities you are taking part in or things you are already doing. They are new in town, and while you don't click with them, others might. If you have a chance, you can suggest activities that are ripe for making friends, volunteering, getting to know parents from the kids' schools, or teams, joining a sports team themselves. Did I say that sentence was the wrong cadence? What? Volunteering?
Getting to know parents from their schools or teams, joining a sports team themselves. No, that's just a hanging clause.
Volunteering, getting to know parents from their kids' schools or teams, joining a sports team themselves. Recently, I've met multiple people by just walking around my neighborhood, small child in tow, checking out Halloween decorations. Also, no matter what, get your husband on a group text with these people and ask him to pull his weight. Maybe he can come up with a group activity that they would enjoy. Invite some other college friends too, who might be better bets for the bosom buddies this family is looking for. Good luck!
I mean, if you frame it that way and you specifically ask for ways to make new friends, you know what I'm gonna say. You gotta go up and you gotta push them.
You gotta push because they're new in town?
Push them. Yeah, I am homeless. I am gay. I'm new in town. God, what an iconic bit.
The part, I don't know, do you really want to be the lame person who brings two boring people to a party?
That's true.
Yeah. Invite them to group activities? Nah, my friends are cool. They don't need to be exposed to these lame people.
Yeah, I sort of agree. Sometimes I've done some matchmaking. I'm be like I'll have people who are like I know would be friends if they hung out, and like sometimes I'm like, you know, they should be hanging out. Yeah, no, yeah, it's a fine enough answer.
Yeah, the weird tangent about the girl she bullied while she was 6 years old was unnecessary.
You never did any of that?
Maybe. I don't remember. I was six, man.
That's true.
I was still singing Watermelon Boogers.
Hey, come on now. We are that young.
All right, Adrian, are you ready for our third segment?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. What you got?
All right, our third segment is me stealing a quiz from pdxmonthly.com, or Monthly Portland is the name.
Hey, that's as Portland as it gets, bro.
Of the publication. This is Truth or Portlandia. Each question has a pair of Portland references. And you have to say which one is a real thing in Portland and which one is from the show Portlandia. There's 10 questions.
Okay.
Obviously, seems doable. It's, you know, A, B sort of thing. It's true, false, it's binary. So you have to get more than 5. If you get lower than 5, you're doing worse than a random number generator.
No, that's not true. I'm doing worse than the mean of a perfect coin being
flipped infinite amount of times. Okay. Thank you for that nuance, Adrian.
That's a point you brought in when I said that once, so that's why I'm bringing it in.
Have I really? I'm so annoying, man. Yeah. Shout out to me, I rock.
You're doing bad at a quiz, and I said you're worse than a coin flip, and you're like, you can't prove that! I'm worse than the average of 1,000 coin flips or whatever.
That was a good point.
Okay, what you got for me? I will preface this by saying that I definitely watched at least the first 3 seasons, but not all the seasons, so we'll see how weighted it is towards what particular season or whatever.
Okay, First off, we have Mounted, a taxidermy-themed group show featuring local artists, or Battle of the Gentle Bands, a stripped-down acoustic version of a traditional Battle of the Bands featuring local musicians.
What was the first one?
Mounted, a taxidermy-themed group show featuring local artists.
That's the real one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That one's the one that actually takes place in Portland.
Did you go to that store? The creepy, weird taxidermy random bone store?
No.
Oh, it's cool. It's Dorley took me there one last time I was there.
Okay. Oh, this one you're definitely going to get. Portland's Adult Hide and Seek League or Portland's Adult Soapbox Derby?
Soapbox Derby?
Is the one that is...
real?
That's true. The Adult Hide and Seek was, I think, one of their most famous bits.
Oh, is it? I don't remember that one. You know, this is what I've always said about Portlandia. Also, do you remember me showing Portlandia to Hunter for the first time?
No.
I showed him my favorite episode, which is season 2, episode 1, which has Around the World in 80 Plates, which is my favorite skit. It's the one with Kumail. He's their waiter or whatever, and like everything Fred says is wrong and everything Carrie says is right. Where he's just like, do you guys want to super spike your meal? And he's like, what does that mean? We pour Jack Daniels all over everything in your meal. And Carrie's just like, Fred's like, that sounds disgusting. And Carrie's like, can I just super spike my sides? And he's like, excellent choice. It's like every single time there's like some weird thing they do to the meal, Carrie knows exactly the right move and Fred's just like disgusted by it. I showed that to Hunter, and Hunter was just like, ha ha, fuddy hipster comedians or whatever.
Well, that's... okay, shut up. The Take Back MTV Charity Ball, which is fostering the return of classic content, like music to MTV, or the Mega Bounce Creatures, an interactive dance party, circus experience, animal dress-up party.
There are definitely some furries in Portland. I'm gonna say the first one's the fake one.
The first one is from Portlandia. Okay.
3 for 3, baby.
Yeah, you're right.
Do, 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 do.
Okay, the Historical Punk Society, an interactive museum in the home of real Portland punks. And the Lincoln Street Kayak and Canoe Museum, which is open 2 hours per week.
I see why the kayak thing is funny, because of the hours. If there was a punk museum in Portland, I think it would have been one of the things that would be on me and on Dorley and I's radar. I feel like she would have gone by herself at this point. I'm going to say the kayak thing is real.
That is true. Yeah. The Historical Punk Society is a Portlandia bit.
Okay. I mean, the kayak thing's honestly funnier just on description alone, but the Punk Society is funny too.
The Mother Sun Natural Deodorant, which is a local product, or Schmidt's Handcrafted Organic Lang Lang and Candula Deodorant, a local product.
Okay, this one's actually hard. let's see. Okay, Mother and Son is funny, but the second one's funny because of how many words it was.
No, not Mother and Son, Mother's Son, but S-U-N, oh. Like a pun. Mother's Son Natural Deodorant.
Oh, well, that sounds like a real thing. The other one has so many words, it seems like it's supposed to be funny. What would be funny about Mother's Son? Besides the pun, which is hilarious. Can you read the second one more time?
Schmidt's Handcrafted Organic Lang Lang and Calendula Deodorant.
Okay, Schmidt is a comedy name. That's a name you use for comedy. So I'm going to say that the first one's real.
Ooh, your first mistake. Mother's Son is a Portlandia bit.
Such lowbrow humor from those boys.
And I guess Schmidt's Handcrafted Organic Lang Lang and Calendula Deodorant is real. Calendula, I guess, maybe? Calendula, Calendula.
I should have known. Don't know what that's what Dorley always smells like.
Light Bar, a cafe providing therapeutic lighting in a European bistro ambience, or Two Girls, Two Shirts, a boutique clothing store that only stocks two shirts at a time.
Okay, this is getting progressively harder. we are getting into boss level now. That second one is so much funnier, and that first one feels more grounded to reality. But, I mean, That's one of those Hannibal Buress bits, right? Like, why does this boutique just have 6 shirts? That can't be. That's gotta be. Okay, I'm gonna say light thing. Light cafe is true.
You're right. That is the true one. Light bar, a cafe providing therapeutic lighting and a European bistro ambience is a real place. 2 girls, yeah. 2 shirts is a Portlandia bit.
All right, that's pretty good.
The Daily Shop, a shop that sells doilies. Or Yarnia, a shop that sells yarn.
Yarnia is pretty funny. What's the first one? The doily shop?
Yeah, the doily. Oh, I said daily, didn't I? The doily shop. Mm. Which has PPE as the way it spells shop.
Oh, shoppy. I mean, the first one doesn't really What's a doily?
It's that like very delicate fabric that you put on like tables.
Okay. Yarnia. I think Yarnia is real. I want to believe.
You got it, man.
Hey.
You are 6 for 7 right now. Weeby Wieners, a hot dog cart serving sausages, chili dogs, and other gut bombs, or Stews. A stew-centric food cart serving salt lick lamb and pickled matzo.
Okay, Stew is a Parks and Rec bit, and I know for sure that exists in the comedic realm. But Portland loves their food carts. That's Dorley used to work at a food cart. Like, that's kind of in Dorley's lineage of like working at all the iconic places in Portland. She also worked at a food cart, which in and of itself is kind of like a big Portland thing. So I believe that Stew is real. But Weepy Weenies, it's... people do love making wiener jokes all the time, though. I'm going to say that the Weepy's the fake.
I'm sorry, Adrian. The second one you got wrong. Stews.
That's a Parks and Rec bit, though. They can't steal a Parks and Rec bit. Parks and Rec bit.
The Portland Fermentation Festival or the Allergy Pride Parade.
We got... Okay, Allergy Pride Festival is obviously funnier. I mean, one's clearly more comedy than the other, but also that's the game of the quiz. I'm going to say that the Allergy Pride Festival is real and very important for us to do as a community together.
I'm sorry, that's in Portlandia.
Oh, that was so obvious. That's a tricky thing to do.
Okay, and number 10. Did Seattle appear on a recent cover of Portland Monthly, or did Portland appear on a recent cover of the Seattle Met? And remember, this is PortlandMonthly.com that this quiz was posted on. And if it helps, in case you know these publications, this article's from 2014. So if you're clicking, if you're running through all the Seattle Met covers.
That was a good year. I'm going to say that Seattle being on the Portland magazine was the inciting incident for an episode where everyone's mad about that, whereas opposed... to in Seattle having Portland on their cover was just a real thing that happened that didn't cause a comedic series of events.
Wait, can you restate that? I got lost.
In Portlandia, I think an inciting incident would be Seattle on their cover. I don't think them being on the Seattle cover is like something that they would, for lack of a better word, cover in their episode. So I think the real one is Portland being on the Seattle cover.
You got it.
Basic logic, brev.
Basic logic. All right, on that note, Adrian, my big fact is Portland. Paul's been there.
My no cap is Adrian's been there multiple times, and I'll tell you what, it keeps getting weirder and weirder. Y'all gotta stop.
Last time I went, it was like a damn Willy Wonka world. Fucking stepped into that city. There were just roads leading. It was an M.C. Escher painting. I was like, the fuck?
The river was made with chocolate.
Too weird here.
We didn't talk enough about the food, but man, I will say, in terms of food cities, Portland's got some good stuff, but there was one trip that I had where I just made the wrong food decision, like, every single time, and it was such a disappointment. It was like 4 days of being there, and every decision I made was the wrong one.
Damn.
And that still haunts me to this day. But food's pretty good in general there.
All right. Bye, buddy.
All right. Bye, bruh.